I really think that activism is not a choice in Iran. It's not something that you decide to do. It's not that you wake up one day and you think with yourself, oh, I want to become an activist. You know, you have to become an activist. It's a necessity. It's something that you cannot skip. Your daily life is in threat.
Hello and welcome back to the Art Persists podcast, a series by Bosler Arts offering a glimpse into the life of artists and activists from all over the world, here to share their stories with you, the listener. My name's Georgia, and for the season 7 finale, we bring you an interview with Rayan Taravati. Rayan is a talented photographer and dedicated activist from Iran based in France. Her work has brought attention to important social, cultural and political issues, and she's been widely recognised for her contributions to women's rights through participation in various campaigns and educational programmes. In April 2022, Rayan went to the home of Najaz Mohammadi, a Nobel Peace Prize winner, activist and human rights defender from Iran. She went to her home in a brief period that Najaz was freed from prison for health reasons, and took a series of absolutely incredible photographs of Mohammadi. And in this episode, we talk a lot about that. Rayan tells us about how difficult it is to be a photographer, to be an artist, and to be a woman in Iran. And she talks us through that day, taking those photos. And those photos would later become the images used to announce Najaz Mohammadi's Nobel Peace Prize winning. And so I really want to thank Rayan for joining us for this episode, where she really tells us about the deeply moving and important work that she's done and those incredible, incredible photographs. Hi, Rayan, and welcome to the Art Persists podcast. It's an absolute pleasure to have you on, and I can't wait to hear all about your life and your work. I wanted to start by asking you about your early life. Can you tell us a bit about where you grew up and what life was like?
Thank you so much for having me on your podcast. It's absolutely an honor to be here. I grew up in Mashhad. Mashhad is a very religious city in Iran. Mostly in religious cities, it's more oppressed. So when I was growing up, there were no opportunities for a girl like me who was interested in art, who was interested in photography, who was in love with fashion photography. It was something that warmed my heart. And I've been Googling and trying to keep updated with what's happening around the world. I remember that my mom bought me this compact camera. I think my life changed because I was so obsessed with this camera. I took it everywhere with me and I kept taking photos of everyone. And, you know, in a religious city like Mashhad, you can never go to the streets to do fashion photography. You might get arrested immediately. So my solution was to work on rooftops. We have been practicing fashion photography on rooftops all the time, which is really funny, especially if we could find a rooftop that no one could see you. Then you could be comfortable to, you know, take off your hijab and you could feel a bit safe.
That's really an amazing story. And I love how you managed to kind of subvert the controls placed on your environment by finding ways to pursue your passion from a rooftop, literally. It's amazing. And I wondered, before we talk a bit more about your photography, if you could just maybe explain a bit to me and to the listeners, really what your experience was as a woman growing up in Iran at that time and what it was for other people. Yeah, if you could just give us a little overview.
I believe the fight for women starts inside the homes with their fathers, with the men in the family, as they try to decide for you all the time. These values that you don't believe in and you want to be free and you want to be this modern girl, you know, you want to grow and you want to be like the rest of the world inside the family. Then it goes to streets, to work, to university, and it continues. This fight is daily, so the pressure is so much. But when you're inside of it, you don't understand it. In Iran, the oppression is really tiring. And women and girls who are still fighting day by day, daily resisting in the streets of Iran, fighting for their rights, are like superheroes, in my opinion. It's very difficult. It's very tiring. It's very disappointing. All my life, I've been dealing with all these challenges.
It must be incredibly hard. I personally cannot even imagine it. And like you said, this idea of having to fight every day just to express yourself, just to be creative, the massive barriers that people have to, that women have to jump. It's really extraordinary. And I completely agree with you. They are superheroes. And obviously, like, as you were developing your own practice, your photography, you said you were influenced by Vogue magazine. Did you have specific photographers as you were kind of expanding on your work and developing it that really inspired you?
You know, back then when I was a teenager, Facebook was much more famous. People were into Facebook more than Instagram. And I've been following photographers like Jean-Paul Esquera, Peter Lindbergh, Vogue magazine, photo shoots for international brands, Gucci, Dolce & Gabbana. I was really interested to, you know, check what they're doing. And I was really passionate to try and do it here at my home. We had some models, we had some photographers who were working underground shooting fashion, and all of them got arrested in different times. They always arrest a generation, and then the next generation comes and continues following their dreams, and they cannot do anything about it because you cannot ask a generation to just stop dreaming, stop wanting. They will want more and they will fight for it. I had many photographer friends. All of them got arrested. They had to close their studios. Many of them left Iran. Many had to stay and be more careful, more cautious. Many of them got depressed and never worked again.
Yes. It always astounds me, the kind of level of pettiness that the authorities in Iran, but in so many other parts of the world, everywhere basically, will go to try and suppress people's creativity, suppress their wants from life, their ambitions. And yeah, really the pettiness really strikes me, which also makes it so amazing. The women, the people who refuse to let, to refuse to play by their rules, basically. And one of those women who has never stopped and has always refused to stop is, of course, the human rights activist and Nobel laureate Najis Mohammadi, who is still in prison today. In 2022, you took a series of photographs of Najis Mohammadi, some of the most wonderful photographs I've ever seen. Could you tell us a little bit about the day that you photographed her?
I'm so happy to have had a chance to photograph Nargis. It's very rare to find her out of prison. She's usually in prison, you know, and she was out for a very short time because she wanted to have a heart surgery. She was supposed to do it very urgently. So she was out for, I guess, I'm not sure exactly how much, but for a very short period of time, like 2 weeks or something. And in that time, I had this idea of photographing the most influential women. And, you know, Nargis Mohammadi was one of the first people I thought of. I asked a friend if he can help me, and he said yes. And he introduced us. This finally happened. I was going to photograph Nargis Mohammadi. I was, of course, very nervous. I didn't know how to do it exactly. But when I went there, she was so warm and kind. All my stress went away. She has this very warm character, very kind person. She's such a lovely person that you, when you see her, it's like you know her for you. It's like we've been friends for years. When I went inside, my stress was gone, and slowly we started working together. Such a great day for me, such a wonderful experience.
It must have been absolutely amazing. And yeah, also the opportunity to be able to photograph her just in that brief moment before she went back to prison where she now remains. And it's interesting that you say that you were kind of friends immediately. It was as if you had been friends for a long time, because you really see that in the photos. You see the warmth, you see this kind of very intimate series of photographs of Nagis in her home. You know, they're very, very moving. You've spoken previously a bit about like the responsibility you felt of taking those photos. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
You know, I felt this huge responsibility because, you know, I was photographing Nargis Mohammadi. She's this very famous human rights activist who I've never met before. So when I was going there, I felt like I should do this right. I hope I could manage to do that. And, you know, when we were taking these pictures, I had no idea that she's going to win the Nobel Peace Prize and these photos are going to be used in her ceremony. I had no idea that these photos are going to be used that way. And it's really interesting to see what can happen to a photograph. When I remember the day that we were shooting, I say to myself, how lucky I was to be able to do this. After that, Nargis never came out. No one has been able to take any new pictures of her. What I tried to do was to show Nargis as the person that I feel like that she's very kind, very strong at the same time. Someone who loves color, who loves to accessorize, who loves laughing and singing and dancing as a way of resistance, being strong and giving hope to others, because she's like this bomb of energy that she gives hope to all people. She gives energy to everyone that she meets. After meeting with her, I was like feeling so hopeful and so energetic. And this is because of Nargis. This is because of who she is.
You really did convey that sense of like her warmth and also her strength. And obviously she is an incredible woman and you really see that from her. And when you talk about getting that sort of energy when you met her, I think it's really, really signals who she is as a person. I mean, we know that even within prison, she's been protesting and leading protests and connecting with other women and faced a lot of harsh treatment because of it. But I think, yeah, you really show testament to who she is as a person and what she wants to do for Iran. And my final real question on these series of photos, because they are so extraordinary, is to just maybe tell me a little bit about the way you photographed her. You mentioned accessories, and this is something you show a lot in the photos. And I believe there's some meaning behind those. Could you tell us a little bit more?
You know, Nargis graciously offered to change her clothes during the photo shoot, choosing a white blouse and pants. And then she accessorized with crafted accessories, which was made by her soulmates, including a bracelet, which was made by a woman on death row. I think she wanted to emphasize on the name of these women, their situations, and to, you know, show them and show the world that she remembers each and every one of them. Such a beautiful thing that she was trying to do. And she told me, make sure that in the pictures we can see the accessories, because each item reminds me of my friends in different prisons. The bracelet that you can see in some of the pictures, small statues, earrings, many different objects that she had, which all of them were gifts from former cellmates for Nargis, for her birthday or for different occasions. As you know, she explained to me that since we don't have anything in prison, this is how we give gifts to each other, and it's all made by hand, so it's such a precious gift. Then I requested, you know, a photo of Nargis with her book, White Torture, which she had in her home. Clean, with good lighting portraits of her, very colorful. You know, Nargis has been in solitary confinement herself for many days. I think for 135 days in total. And she told me what it does to your head, to your mental health, and the pressure that it puts on you is unimaginable. You don't see the signs of torture on the body, but it affects the soul so much that people coming out of solitary confinements deal with it for many, many years. And she explained all of that in the book. I think it's such an amazing book that I really suggest people to read it if they have time. I think it's been translated to many languages. And then we started to take some pictures of her all around the house as I wanted to show her doing her daily tours in the kitchen, in the bedroom, working, talking to the phone, having guests. Yeah, this is what we did. And I really loved the photo shoot. I think the result came out to be really great.
Hi, this is Hossam Fazula, co-founder of Bosla Arts. The Artists podcast is independently run by Bosla Arts, me and Georgia, which allows us to share these important conversations with artists and activists from all over the world. In order to keep having these conversations, we need your help. Join us on Patreon for as little as £3 and help us continue this vital work. More info in the episode description. Now back to the podcast.
I don't know if I mentioned this before or not, but almost 1 month after this photo shoot, I got arrested myself. In the prison, they mentioned to me that one of the reasons that we're arresting you is taking photographs of Nargis Mohammadi. It was a big deal for them. That why did you do it? Why did you meet with her? And what was your purpose? What did you talk about? Who did she mention? And, you know, questions like that, which was really, really, really crazy, because you think that you are just doing a project and you are photographing a woman. It's not a crime to photoshoot someone, a human rights activist. And then, you know, they stopped the whole project. I had an idea to photograph many women. And the first one I thought of was, of course, Nargis, because she was really important to me. And, you know, they stopped the whole project. I couldn't continue because then they arrested me and they took all of my hard drives. And one of my most fears was, what if I lose the files of Nargis? Because she was back in prison herself at that time. And I was thinking, what a loss if I, you know, use all of these files. And I would be very deeply sad if I, you know, lose all of them. And for months, I thought I lost them. I really think that activism is not a choice in Iran. It's not something that you decide to do. It's not that you wake up one day and you think with yourself, oh, I want to become an activist. You know, you have to become an activist. It's a necessity. It's something that you cannot skip because your daily life is in threat. You understand the situation and then you become an activist. So I felt like that this is what that been happening to many people. Maybe they didn't want to step into politics and step into human rights activism or women's rights activism, but you know, they felt it's a necessity and they had to do something. And this is what happens when you live in Iran.
It really is striking that you yourself were punished and arrested, and I'm sure went through a very traumatic experience because of taking photographs of a woman, because you took photographs of Nargis. And I think it shows also the importance of the photos themselves in that way. I think it's also really interesting about what you say about the fact that activism is not a choice. And I think that is so true. If you are being persecuted literally for photography, for art, then what is not considered activism? I think you raise a really, really beautiful point. So thank you so much for sharing that and sharing your story a little bit. And for also sharing with the world those photos of Nargis.
I remember Nargis told me that they refused medical care to her. They refused to take her to hospital. And she said that she had this massive chest pain and she almost fainted in prison, which led to the surgery finally with lots of delay and the stent that they put in her heart. And this was the reason that she was out of prison for a few weeks. I'm not sure. And, you know, the same thing is still happening to her. I've just heard that in the past month, they promised to take her to hospital 3 times and all of them got canceled. She's diagnosed with this tumor in her breast. They refused to take her to the treatment that she needs. The doctors say that she was supposed to have an angiography and they've delayed it so much that, you know, it's very dangerous for someone who has had a surgery before and who the woman who's under lots of pressure and she has a stent in her heart. And, you know, they're just delaying everything for her. And I'm really worried about her whenever I think about her situation, whenever I see the pictures and the photographs. I tell myself, I really hope that she can get the medical treatment she needs and she can get out of prison one day. I really hope, I really wish that we can meet again. We can photo shoot again. We can have a photo shoot and, you know, see the pictures together and talk about it. It's really my wish to see Nargis out of prison one day. I'm not sure if, I'm not really hopeful, but this is my wish for Nargis. I really hope that one day she will be free.
Obviously, you've been through a huge ordeal in Iran, and I know that you're now living in France mostly. Can you tell us a little bit about what that experience has been like for you?
As I had to leave Iran because after I got arrested, I was sentenced to 6 years of jail. You know, there was nothing I can do about it. You know, I had a really great lawyer. I understood that I have no choice but to go to prison or to leave the country. And I've decided to leave the country because I'm not a hero like Nargis is. People like her who stay and fight, they do such an extraordinary thing to say that, okay, I'm going to spend 6 years of my life inside prison, fighting all the time, accept the pressure, the mental pressure, the physical pressure. I didn't see it in myself. I was always against immigration. I was always against, you know, leaving my country. I was one of those people who said, no, I have to stay. I will stay. I will never move. But, you know, you never know what life puts you through. And it kind of happened. And I had to immigrate forcefully. And yeah, this is the situation. I'm really grateful that now I am safe. I don't have to be scared of the smallest sound on my door, thinking that, oh, they've came to arrest me again. You know, it does a lot of damage to your head. The constant feeling of might getting arrested every day for the smallest thing. It's really such a huge pressure. Be forced to leave your country is a huge pain. It's such a huge pain when it wasn't planned and it's just something you had to do. It's such a huge pain and I'm trying to deal with it.
Rayan, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the podcast and thank you so much for sharing your story and your amazing work. And we will, of course, leave links in the episode description so people can go check out your work more. My final question really is about what you have coming up next. What are you working on at the moment? And maybe just a reflection of how your work has changed since you've moved to France.
It was amazing to be here. And what I really want to do is to finish this project, something like, you know, You Cannot Stop Me Ever, finish this series of portraits of inspirational women. I would really love to finish that. And I've started this project here, and I hope I can finish it soon.
I'd like to thank Rayan for joining us for this week's episode. As always, if you'd like to learn more about her work, you can find links in the episode description. And thank you for joining us for another season of the Artpsis podcast. It's been an absolutely incredible one, and we'll be back soon with season 8. But for now, so you don't miss our next season, don't forget to follow us wherever you listen, give us a rating, and even share your favourite episode with friends and family. Because truly, only with your help can these important stories be shared. Thanks for listening, and see you very soon with season 8.